You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. My guest this week is the local author, Massachusetts author Doug Bauer. His new book is The Beckoning World. I asked Doug to come on because one thing that I've neglected to do over the years, in light of the fact that I've interviewed so many authors, what we never really get to talk about outside of the book itself, and we'll be touching upon that as well, but where do authors get their inspiration? Where do they get the characters in Doug's new book, The Beckoning World? There's some fictional characters, but there are also some real-life characters. But as someone who's done some writing myself, I'm curious as to what goes through the mind of an author in the early stages before anything gets put between the pages of the book. So as they say, sit back and relax. And for the next half hour, we'll be joining with Doug Bauer. Doug, nice to have you with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Al. Thank you.
And the thing I really like, and I love talking to authors, topics wide range, biographies, autobiographies, historical works. But more importantly, it's always nice to have somebody local. And people say, oh, yeah, he's a local New England. No, you're right here in Massachusetts. We're right here in Massachusetts. That makes the label more special. But let me start by asking you, The Beckoning World is your new book.
Right.
It is a work of fiction, but incorporated into that, you mentioned many people, past people who've gone by us, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig specifically, two Hall of Fame baseball players. But, where does, first and foremost, where does that inspiration, are you just sitting at at your desk one day and all of a sudden, hey, I think I've got the idea for a book? I mean, does it happen that readily?
In the basic sense, sometimes it does. And here's what happened in this case. I was reading the New York Times, as I do at some point most every day, and there was an article I came across which described a moment in October of 1927. And I should say that the novel The Beckoning World is set primarily in the first quarter of the 20th century. In 1927, there was a historical event that happened, which really just absolutely seized my attention. It was just after the World Series, the 27 World Series, where the Yankees swept the Pirates. And this was also the year that Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs. So it has a historical significance for that reason alone. But after the World Series, I think something like 10 days after, he and Lou Gehrig got on a train in New York to take a barnstorming exhibition tour across the country. And the idea was to stop in various little cities along the way, mostly places that had never seen a Major League Baseball game, let alone such mythic figures as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And to play, against a team that had teams that had been sort of selected to play against them, and so that was the itinerary. And one of the games they played was in a little town, well, not so little comparatively, Sioux City, Iowa. Along the way, I was raised on a farm in Iowa, and so it just seized my imagination to think of what it would be like for someone, in rural Midwest to have these two gods come into town for a few hours, play a baseball game, and then depart for the next game along the way, which happened to be historically Denver. Anyway, so that was the article that I read in the Times. And I just thought to myself, there's an idea here. There's more than an idea, there's a story here. So that's how it began. And as you know, that Ruth and Gehrig, while very important figures, really aren't the main characters. They're significant secondary characters.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I don't mean to cut you up, but I just want to, as I was reading the book and I'm reflecting back, to a favorite movie of mine, the Lou Gehrig story, but these, as you said, in the early 20s, obviously, we didn't have computers. We didn't have social media. So it wasn't every single day that you could just connect with the outside world and, follow your favorite celebrity or your favorite sports person. So this must have been, and you growing up in the Midwest, knowing exactly what that was like. What I'm saying is I'm sitting there going, yeah, that must have been an unbelievable feeling to have these greats, these baseball legends appear at your doorstep, basically, yeah, and play ball. But continue as you were talking about.
Well, you said it so well just now. I mean, that was the notion that just sort of, as I said, really grabbed my imagination. And then it kind of went a little farther in that I thought, well, who is this person who would be on the receiving end of this astonishing experience? Who would be the person who, was living in small town rural Iowa when these two gods appeared to play their exhibition game? And the character that I imagined turned out to be the main character of the novel, and his name is Earl Dunham. And he himself, it's a complicated story, an entirely fictional story, entirely made up, of Earl and how he got there and why he was so susceptible to being caught up in the fact of Ruth and Gehrig arriving. Earl had a career as a minor league baseball pitcher himself and was pitching for a local semi-pro team. And as events in the novel play out, he was a pitcher on one of the teams that played in this exhibition game against Ruth and Gehrig. So, Earl, as the main character, kind of came in through the back door, if you will, of my imagination. And it's really mostly his story with, as I say, great contributions from fictional renderings of Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
But once again, it's Earl Dunham, this young man, grows up in rural Midwest,
right,
a coal miner by trade. The
right.
furthest thing, even if you love the baseball as he does, as you depict in the book, you never in a million years think that you're going to get that opportunity to meet, as you said, two gods of baseball. And to this day, they're still iconic legends in the game itself. And then to be scouted while playing this game, only to realize a dream come true. But let me ask you, though, Doug, in one subconscious, is it possible that somewhere, I got to assume, first of all, that you like baseball. Secondly,
oh, God, yes.
So secondly, in your subconscious, is it possible that maybe Earl Dunham in real life is Doug Bauer?
Well, I think that has to be true, at least for me, when I'm writing a novel, some of me is in all my characters. I can't imagine a writer for whom that isn't true. You know, there are projections that, and you use the word subconscious, and I think that's exactly the right word. I'm not in any way consciously part of my characters, but subconsciously, you have to be touched, I think, by some element of your own makeup in order to, at least I'm speaking for myself, in order to write convincing fictional characters. You know, you have to tap the well of your own kind of possibilities there. So, that's a very long-winded way of answering the question. Yes, I'm sure there is. And, but the main story for Earl is just the story of a man whose dream was altered and how one lives and adjusts and recalibrates his life when the dream that he has takes a turn that he has to reconcile.
You know, that's so interesting because even, we're primarily a jazz station, have been for over 50 years. And every time that as I learn more and more about people who become famous in this particular case, in your case, it's sports. In this case, it's the music world. But these people, as you said, they go from a very mundane, everyday, like the rest of us, get up in the morning, go to work kind of life, and all of a sudden, because you have that raw innate talent, rise to stardom, for some, they're able to ground themselves and adjust. So many go off the walls. In this case, as I was reading through The Beckoning World, I get the sense that Earl Dunham, thank God, and I want to ask you, is it due to his Midwestern roots, his foundation, the way he was raised, gave him some stability, because all of a sudden someone knocks on your door and says, hey, you're going to be playing ball against Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. And by the way, we're also going to be scouting, and you just might get that call. I mean, that is a transformation. As you said, that's a dream come true.
It certainly is. Yeah, almost a dream beyond a dream. It's that large and, that sort of inconceivable in a certain realistic way. But in the case of Earl, I saw him and see him as a figure who is really faced with a choice in life. And as you know from the story in the book, I see this book as, it's chock full of baseball and suffused with baseball legend and baseball stories. But I see the book as a love story. And it's really a love story between Earl Dunham and the young woman he meets and falls in love with, whose name is Emily Marchand. And there comes a point, and I won't give too much away, but it's probably pretty obvious from what I'm saying here. There comes a point where Earl has to decide between trying to continue with his dream to be a baseball player and his equal love and sort of just being lost in his love for Emily. So which, there's the old classic Yogi Berra line, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. And Earl comes to that fork in the road, and the story in the novel is which road does he take?
Yeah, I found that to be you sit there and you read and you go, okay, there's the love of my life. Well, there's the physical love of my life,
right.
This woman, in this case, it's Emily, and then there's the dream that I've always hoped for, that maybe I'd be recognized as a talent in the athletic world.
Right.
Tough. Tough decision to make. I just want to take a quick pause, and then we'll be right back with Doug Bauer. You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. Again, my guest this week is local author, Massachusetts author Doug Bauer. His new book is The Beckoning World. And even though this is not a work of nonfiction, Doug has weaved into this story, and it's so fascinating in talking to him about this real-life icons in the sports world, that is, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, all making an impact on the life of a simple young man from the Midwest by the name of Earl Dunham. And Doug, once again, what I love about this is you've got this lore of fame and fortune, whether it's entertainment or sports, in this case it's the sports world. And then there's the one thing that always seems to grab people's, I think especially in books, is romance. Mm-hmm. Will he get the girl, or will he find happiness? His heart is, he puts his heart out there. Will she accept it? In this case, Earl's got a tough, as you said, this fork in the road. Does he choose to become, the attempt to become a Major League Baseball star, and leave Emily behind, or expect her to go along with that? Again, I go back to my original premise. Anything in there, again, part of your background?
Well, I think we've all had a love which we've lost. At least I imagine most of us have. And not in the significant way that I give Earl this choice, but I certainly have had my life's experience with having to make a choice or having a choice being made for
you.
But so I'll, I'll leave it at that. But you know, it's not. I would be naive if I said I wasn't drawing on some experience here.
But I guess, for me personally, and I don't think I'm alone in this, and I want to get your sense, because you know you've written before. This is not new. But you know how to reach an audience, and that's important to, you know, in public. We talked about, you know, how you go about getting started in writing a book. And part of the marketing ploy here is to be able to make it so interesting. And I think one of the ways, and I think you've done that, you've woven that right into the story, introduce, you know, famous individuals, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, love and romance, Earl's feelings toward his girlfriend, Emily, here. But that all goes back to something that I think is basically innate in all of us, Doug, and that is, and I think, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, kudos to you and to any author that's able to weave in, you know, the aspect, if you will, of fame and fortune, the idea of never-ending love, romance, and then the, you know, the real tough question is he going to be able to juggle all of this? So all the what I'm saying is, it sounds like all the ingredients are there. Is this something that you had total control over, or does an editor say, Doug, I kind of like the basic idea here, but let's how about considering introducing this, you know, a girlfriend or some romance, or let's throw in some famous people, yeah, to make it more lively. Did they have any say? Does the publisher have any say, or is this strictly Doug Bauer, take me or leave me?
Well, pretty much the latter. You know, I certainly am receptive to editorial guidance. I'm happy for that, but I do also think that I wait, and I think I speak for most writers, if not most all writers. I wait until the story is fairly well told, or fairly completely told, I should say, before an editor sees it. And in this case, I had, as I said, I had the baseball players and the myth of them and their impact on somebody. I had that idea first. And then second, the somebody who is Earl. And then kind of following immediately after that was the complexity of Earl's life.
Yeah.
Apart from meeting Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
Right.
And it's just that kind of stew, if you will, of narrative that I was working with. And I certainly am always open to letting my imagination go in places I hadn't imagined, and that happened. Always happens. If you've got a good story going, you know, you have to kind of let go of it as you're telling it, and let new things come in.
And you know, I think that's true of a lot of people, as I said, especially people who are very creative. You know, once that initial idea is you know, hatched, if you will, everything else seems to, like, oh Jesus, now I'm flowing with these ideas. Which ones make sense for this particular book? I mean, it must be, I guess what I'm saying is, it must require a certain amount of discipline, where you're just sitting there and all of a sudden this next idea to accompany this book comes into play. As you said, Ruth, Gehrig, Earl, and then Emily comes into the picture. Okay, how do all of these lives interact? How will this all fall into place or not fall into place? It's got to be, I mean, you've only got so much time. You can only have so many pages between the, you know, the book cover. So, you know, is it frustrating for you as an author when you have all these great characters? You can expand on them, add so many dimensions to their life, but knowing that there is some, there's going to be some constraints. Is that a frustrating part of the writing process?
Well, it's a great question, and I wouldn't call it constraints, because I think the writer has to, as I say, let the imagination take him where it wants to go. But I think as you do it repeatedly over many years, you learn some sense of when to rein it in, when to say, you know, this idea, it seemed great, but as I have followed it, it doesn't fit or it needs to be revised to fit. And so it's this odd relationship a writer has to his material, to be both the originator of it, but also the recipient of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
So, you know, in a way, you're both the writer and the reader almost simultaneously. And to kind of balance those, to wear both those hats is one thing that I think a writer just kind of learns to deal with more comfortably over the time. And the only frustration, frankly, is the opposite. If you're sitting there and no ideas come to you, too few ideas, that's the frustration. But it's never a frustration to have too many.
I guess in the closing moments that we have, I got the question. And I don't want to give away the book. Obviously, we want people to go out and buy The Beckoning World because it is a great read. But just a little snippet, kind of put a little icing on the cake, if you will. Does the boy get the girl?
Well, as you know, the answer to that is yes and no. He does get the girl, but on another hand, he doesn't. So there's still more events in the book that has to do with Earl and Emily and their life together that are very complicated and that are also rooted in actual history. And so the complexity of their relationship plays out over the course of the book.
And you know, Doug, I really, and as I said, we've only got so many moments, but I got to say this. I love that aspect of it because it wasn't clear cut. It wasn't, you know, they always say people love a happy ending. Well, that is true. That basically true. But if everything is just, put on the table and you know, here it is. It's simple. It's straightforward. He got fame and fortune. He got the girl. He got the good life. A little too much polish, if you will. It was nice to see that, you know, he was going to have to work hard either way. He wasn't just going to make it to the majors and become a Babe Ruth or a Lou Gehrig. He wasn't going to become, you know, the shining star in Emily's life unless he made certain sacrifices and worked hard for all of that. So I really like that aspect of it, is that you didn't give this guy a pass. I guess
well,
is what I'm trying to say.
That's perfectly said, I think. And life does not give us a pass.
Exactly.
So I think that, you know, the very simply told story has, it's like eating sugar. You know, you get a high from it. But it goes away. And I think what I try to do in the books I write is to have that appetite linger, and those tastes, I should say, linger. So it's not the quick sugar high.
Yeah. No, but it's a great ride. Let's put it that way. The book is The Beckoning World. My guest has been the author, Doug Bauer. And Doug, real fast before we go away, especially where you're local, a lot of people like that. If they want to post questions to you, get more information about your work and your background, how might they do that?
Yeah, the most direct way and the most satisfying way for me is to go to my website, which is Douglas Bauer. It's B-A-U-E-R, Bauer, douglasbauer.com. Yep. And I've got an email address there, and all of my books are available there. And so I'd love to invite people to visit the site.
Well, there it is. There's the invitation, ladies and gentlemen. Again, the book is The Beckoning World, a really beautiful mixture of fiction, nonfiction, you know, the strains, the stresses of life, the ups and downs, but at the end, a very enjoyable book to read. Again, I want to thank my guest, Doug Bauer. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.